Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello,
and welcome to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
I am Bree.
And I am Allie.
And today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I'm old as fuck.
I'm older than you. What the heck does that mean?
I know whenever I say that, John gets mad because he's 2 years older than me.
Yes. What are you doing today?
Today is a super chill day. Mm-hmm. Later tonight, we are doing D&D.
Fun.
If we didn't, our next session would be like 7 weeks after our last session. So we were like, we need to find some random days. And that was one of them. At first, I was like, I don't want to do D&D. And then I was like, you know what? Whatever.
Yes, you do. Yeah, exactly. You'd have so much fun.
It's true. But yeah. But my big thing is yesterday, we had a barbecue on my roof.
Yes, we did.
And we played games. What games? I don't know.
We're predicting the future that it was super fun.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful weather.
Yes.
Yummy food.
Yes. And we just had a blast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I feel like a fortune teller right now. For context, you guys, it is July 27th, so it's about a month back. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't have known that if I didn't tell you.
Well, today we're doing a Rob movie.
Of course, for your birthday.
Duh. And so we're doing Mickey's 7 and 17.
Yes. So this one, yeah, the book is different title than the movie. So we got Mickey 7 in the movie Mickey 17. And this is one of those books that they cannot change the title.
Yeah.
Because like some, you know, some books, they once the movie gets famous, they change the title of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Would not work very well.
No, not in the slightest. There is a very big difference for why they named it Mickey 7 versus 17.
Yes.
And that's because of how many times Mickey dies.
Yes. So poor guy.
I know. Poor Rob.
I know.
Rob got the short end of this Mickey stick.
He did. So it's season 7, episode 4.
Yeah, we're trucking along.
We are. And I'm ready to get started. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our picture was my birthday, so.
Yes, I think it's perfect.
Everyone wish me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brie. All right, our trigger warning is death. There's lots of dying in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If that's not your cup of tea, it's done comically, if that helps you.
I was going to say, it's a fucking hilarious movie, and you need to watch it. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so our synopsis is space colonist Mickey Barnes, a.k.a. Mickey 7 or 17, if you're watching the movie, tries to survive a beachhead colony on an alien world. The job he signed up for is to be an expendable, undertaking all of the most dangerous tasks necessary for a mission to colonize Ice World Niflheim.
Niflheim.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Okay. Our author is Edward Ashton. Our director is Bong Joon-ho. Our screenplay was also Bong Joon-ho. Mm-hmm. And audiobook reader, I had John Perhala and Catherine Chin. You listened to it differently than I did.
I listened to it on Spotify.
I did.
And I don't have my phone with me, so I can't look it up right now.
Libby or no,
mine was just a dude.
I only had a girl every time that it was when he was space, like over the oculars to either Nasha or Kat.
Oh, then I probably had the same people.
Okay,
yes, that's the only you're time. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay.
There was a girl in mine too.
Yeah. Cool. I liked him. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was entertaining.
Mm-hmm. All right. A book came out February 15th. Happy Valentine's Day. 2022 and movie March 7th, 2025.
Damn. That got optioned quick because I've been waiting for this movie for like the last 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That is one of my fun facts is that it got paused for a reason.
COVID?
I don't remember.
We will find out during fun facts.
So that's a 3-year difference. Because you saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hang on. What did you do first?
I watched it in theaters and doing it for Off Script, that was my third time watching it. And literally we've watched it. What? So it came out in March. I watched it in April and then I watched it in June. So I've seen it 3 times in like short span of time. Yeah. This is one of my favorite Rob movies. It really is. Mm-hmm. It beat out a lot of other movies.
That is quite impressive, actually. And I read it first. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And what are our initial thoughts?
It's a funny story.
It is.
It's a funny story, but it's also a sad story.
It is. But it has like...
They do it in such a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. It kind of even at the end there remind me of Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was good. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And why did we pick it? Why'd you pick it for your birthday month?
So originally I was picking movies that I hadn't read or seen the movie for that I was really excited about. But then I had to see it when it came out. So I was like, well, I'm screwing up my own movie picks, but I'm keeping it because it's a Rob movie.
Yep.
So that's why. And originally I didn't have it scheduled for my birthday.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's remember? Right. Remember? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Allie was the one we were talking and I was like, wait, can we swap these? Because I had Beauty and the Beast for my birthday.
She just flipped last week and this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I thought it was weird that you didn't put a Rob movie for your birthday. I just thought it was because you love Beauty and the Beast so much.
No, I literally realized as I was finishing the book, I think. And I was like, what the fuck did I do? Why did I do that?
Well, that's why I got flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have some super fun facts for you.
Woo!
And so while it is well known that Pattinson plays multiple versions of Mickey due to the cloning process, what many don't realize is that director Bong Joon-ho insisted on filming certain key scenes without Pattinson knowing which version of Mickey he was playing until just before shooting. This method was meant to capture the confusion and existential.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dread of a clone struggling with his own identity, leading to some of the film's most unsettling and raw performances.
That's actually such a smart idea.
I know. I thought
that's
it was really cool.
Really smart. Yeah.
Yep. Robert Pattinson uses accents to differentiate between Mickey 17 and Mickey 18, likening them to Ren and Stimpy. In his auditions, he used the voices of Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O from Jackass.
Wow. That's hilarious. But yeah, you can tell. I like his 18 one is like menacing.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. I'm like, ooh, you did that so good.
I did a video and I'm like, he sounds like Batman. And then I laughed because I was like, he is Batman.
He's like, let me just pull out a fan favorite here.
Oh my gosh. The minute he read the script, Robert Pattinson said he would do the film.
Wow.
And it was shot over a period of 4 months in the UK. That was one of our longer movies, I feel like. Well, that I've ever looked up the length for. I feel like a lot of them are like, we shot this in a month. And I'm shocked.
4 months sounds about right for a film.
Oh, okay. I mean,
seen. The shorter ones are when I'm blown away.
I know, for sure. For sure. I wasn't super blown away for this one.
Oh.
I thought it was more normal. But for my fun facts, it's been long on the longer side. Robert Pattinson drew a lot of his inspiration from Jim Carrey's performance in Dumb and Dumber.
I wonder if that's why he had that weird haircut.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh. When I saw the preview for this movie, I was like, God damn, I hate his hair in this. But it fits the character too well.
It does.
So like after the first 10 minutes, I was like, I don't even care about your hair anymore.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And what's hilarious, I think I've already told you this, but since it's this episode, I'm going to tell you how I got John to go see it with me was during the preview. When Rob started talking, he was like, that's Rob's voice in this? Oh, I'll see it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. Oh my gosh. The voice just, I had double take because I was like putting laundry away or something. I was like, what?
I think him doing this voice really kind of showcases how versatile he can be, because you would never expect him to sound like this ever.
He should start doing some
voice acting. Yes. Oh, I would. Actually, he does. He's in anime. I know in the anime, I literally had to go and look at who he was voicing because I was like, as I was watching it, I was like, I swear he's this person. But that sounds more like Willem Dafoe than Rob because Willem was also in it.
Right.
So then I was like, oh, wait, maybe he's this character who literally has like two lines. Nope. It was the character I thought, the one that talks for the whole entire fucking movie. And I couldn't tell it was Rob.
Was it the boy in the heron?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's in Tenant?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he needs to do more voice acting.
Okay. All right, cool. Shall we start?
Yes.
So the book goes back and forth between present and past. So I don't know who starts first. They start pretty much the same, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we're following the life of Mickey 7, and he fell down in a hole. And his friend Berto,
here's a difference. In the book, it's Berto. In the movie, it's Timo.
I don't really why.
It made no sense. I get why.
Why?
Because although in reading this, I realized that Mickey 7 has other books. So it's a book series. So who's to say that Berto doesn't turn into this? But Berto was actually like a friend and wasn't a scumbag. Whereas Timo in the movie pretty was. Scummy.
Yeah.
So I think if they called him Berto, that would have been changing this character completely.
Yeah.
So I guess good on you, Bong Joon-ho, for being like, well, I'm changing this character, so I'm going to change his name.
I guess that's true. So his friend Berto left him and saying, hey, we're nervous. There's creepers down there, but, you know, it's OK. You'll be dead soon. Don't worry about it. Bye. And
well, first he tried to help him. He was like, are you sure you don't want us to come? And Mickey was like, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't feel like it was a real.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason I say that is because in the movie, Timo just doesn't. He goes down. It's even worse. He goes down into the hole just like halfway down as far as Mickey's dropped to pick up his flamethrower gun that he was dropped. And he's like, oh, I'm just taking this back. And Mickey's like,
OK, can't
you bring me? And he's like, well, you're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
So like to me, it was worse in the movie.
It was worse in the movie. Yeah. Because in the book, they were in like the helicopters or whatever, the planes overboard. And they're like,
they're like talking with him, trying to figure out like, how far down are you? Can we get you? Yeah. I don't think it's smart. You're just going to come back anyway. So maybe we shouldn't get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his girlfriend, Nasha wanted to risk it, but Mickey's like, no, it's dangerous. Don't like, I'll come back. It's fine. Well, at first, the reader, if you hadn't watched it or not, like, you're like, what the heck? They're just like leaving him to die. So they don't give us any background that he comes back quite yet. So it was a fun little, I mean, I knew the story.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
Because the explanation comes right after the scene.
Yes.
Nasha isn't part of the rescue mission.
No.
In the beginning. You don't meet Nasha until Nasha's story comes up in the movie.
Yeah. So this is when we learn he's an expendable and he dies, but he comes back. But if she dies, she won't. So he realizes, though, he doesn't want to die. He also hasn't been backed up or been backing up his memory for the last 6 months. Was it weeks? Months?
I think it was months.
OK. And he tries to find.
Actually, I guess I shouldn't say months. It's the last six. Oh, wait, no, because he's 7. Never mind. Yeah, it must have been months.
OK, that's right. He tries to find a way out and then a creeper comes and he's like, oh, great, I'm going to die. And he takes him to the dome.
which is where they all live, the people all live, instead of eating him, which is what they expect creepers to do. He goes back to his place, his little bunk, and he realizes Mickey 8 was made, which is really bad because now he's a multiple.
So in the movie, the creepers do save him, but it's fucking hilarious. They don't take him to the dome, and so they just kind of drop him in the middle of nowhere, and he's sitting there yelling at the creep. This is one of my favorite scenes, and he's like, "Hey, just because I've been remade, my meat's still fresh. You can still eat me. I still taste good."
After he's like saved and like at the place to like go back home, he's like, "No, what are you doing?"
Because he's
so insulting.
I know, that's the funniest part, because they've been taught that these creepers are violent and the enemy. So in his head, he's like, okay, they're supposed to kill me. And it took him telling Nasha at the end of the movie for her to be like, huh, I don't think they're harmful then, like, if they had saved you. And I was like, dude, they literally, like, they were carrying you on their back. They were like, what?
That is funny. It took him so long in the movie because he pretty much realizes it right here in the book.
Yeah, but I think it's because in the book or in the movie, the driving force of the story is the creepers and the fact that they're the enemy, because there are a lot of like the drama and tension in the movie are the starting point for it. I think that's why.
Okay. Yep.
And it's Mickey 18, not Mickey 8.
Yes. So now we have a flashback in the book.
Also, because in the movie, they don't know to call them creepers yet. And in the book, they're already calling them creepers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big one.
That was a big one.
Mm-hmm. That one threw me for a loop when I was reading it. And he was like, and the creepers were saving me. I was like, hold on. You already know that they're creepers?
Yep.
Like, what? It was what made me really sad is I really wanted more. Now I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I really wanted more of Mark Ruffalo's character in the book.
No, I'm just shaking my head. Oh my gosh, I hated his character so much.
His character is the worst, but I kept thinking, especially his wife, I wanted that story.
She wasn't even in it.
No, she wasn't in the book at all. And when I watched the movie, I knew that we were covering it for Offscript, and I just kept thinking, I can't wait to see that dynamic, to see how much she is controlling him behind the scenes. And then that just was not
Isn't
there.
That so interesting. It's the full on opposite of like reading the book first. Like, you're imagining the story, like the movie, like, oh, that's going to look so cool. That's going to be like, and then you're watching the movie and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear all the details.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kind of wild.
I think that's a sign of a good story though, right?
I think so. Definitely.
Like, a good adaptation of it too. Yeah. Cause like I don't, let me go to our ending questions, but I don't think that anything got lost from the story. But I just wish that there was more, but I also wish that the book had more of the story that I wanted from the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we haven't
told you this was going to be a long one.
No, that's fine. I knew Rob. Yeah. We haven't had a long one in a while. They've all been under an hour.
That's true. That's very true.
Okay.
It's only fair.
Exactly.
So, flashback, we learn why Mickey chose to be an expendable. He was the only one that applied for the position first because no one wants to die all the time. And he had to sit through a meeting with this long list of possibilities on how he would die. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah, I'm good. And in the end, he said, yep, he just wanted off Midgard. And he's a historian, but that's more of a hobby because he doesn't really get paid for it. And this is his way to make some money and leave the planet.
In the movie, he does become an expendable, but it's because him and him and Timo were making a macaroon business, and they borrowed money from a loan shark, basically, who was a very violent guy and was coming after them. So they needed to get off the planet so that he couldn't find him and kill him.
Yep.
And so they're like, let's get off the planet.
That kind of comes into play in a little bit, but different.
But yeah, but he was not a historian.
No, not in the movie.
He wasn't. I mean, he was trying to make some money by leaving the planet, but no, not really.
All right. So we're back to present day.
Oh, but also, did you... I think I told you before you watched it when I first saw it, but I don't know if you remembered. So did you catch that the girl who teaches him all about being an expendable in the movie is his love interest from the Bad Mother's Handbook?
I didn't, but I thought I recognized her.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny.
She just, she lost all of her baby weight. Uh-huh. And so she looks really super skinny, and it took, I had to go and look it up, but I was like, I'm pretty sure you're her.
That's so cute. Yeah.
I was like, oh, a little reunion.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aw. All right, so he goes to the room and sees Mickey 8. And they're both like, oh, crap, this is not good. And they talk for a little bit, and they're trying to figure out who's going to die because there cannot be two of them. Like, it is bad news, and we'll learn about why in a second. If their leading commander comes in, he's going to kill both of them, so they got to figure it out. They decide to take a little break and calm down. Mickey 8 goes and showers because he has all the, like, goo on him from being created. And Mickey 7 is in the room, and then here comes Umberto. And they chat for a little bit. Mickey 7 learns that Umberto has been lying to him about how he died because he's like, oh, dude, what happened? He's like, oh, man, yeah, you know, the creepers got you. It was really bad. And Mickey 7's like, okay, I know for a fact that's not true, so this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wondering if he's done that with past deaths, too, because Mickey relies on his friend to tell him the truth. And Berto leaves. Mickey 8 comes back in. They do rock, paper, scissors. See who's going to die. And Mickey 7 lost. So he's like, ah, that sucks. Okay.
So in the movie, I also realized that there's a point when Mickey is learning about becoming expendable. And they're like one step away. He just has to kill himself. He then talks about how he thinks he killed his mom. And his mom's not in the book. And that whole story is not in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this part threw me for a loop when I was reading the book, because Mickey 7 and Mickey 8 are so, like, cordial with each other, and they just talk all peacefully, whereas in the movie they just start fist fighting right off the bat.
I know. In the book they're kind of like friends that get annoyed with each other, but they're still friends.
Yeah.
Whereas
movie, they were like, oh, fuck this, you have to die. Yes. No, you have to die. And so they just start fighting right off the bat. And then Berto, the thing too is Mickey in the movie knows exactly how he's died every time. He doesn't not know.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's no Berto needing to tell him the lie. Instead, there's Timo, who comes in when they end up going to the boiler room where all of Mickey's bodies gets tossed into anyway. And so they're trying to toss each other into that boiler. But then Timo comes in and is doing a drug deal, because drugs are a big part of the movie, too.
And not at all in the book.
No, no. I was wondering if that was a later book thing, potentially.
It might be.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
No. And it becomes this thing where, Timo's selling drugs. And so then Mickey 8 is pissed at Timo and wants to kill him for everything that he's done to Mickey. And Mickey 7's just this sweet guy who's like, no, we can't do that. He's our friend.
All right. So then we get a flashback, and Berto is a master at, like, Pong or some sport like that. Ping pong or whatever. I don't know what it was, but something like that.
And wait, actually, I think it was pickleball.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought it was hilarious, because at work there's a pickleball court right next to the auditorium, and I did not realize how popular pickleball is until I got this job.
Yeah.
And then I was reading this book and they said pickleball, and I was like, of course they did.
And so all through high school and a little older, he became like number 10 in the whole world. He decided he wanted to leave Midgard with a trophy because he's in the military. He got off the, like, just because he wanted to type of thing. But he's like, you know what? Before I leave, I'm going to get a trophy. And Mickey bet against him because he's like, then I would double my money when he, like, loses.
Mm-hmm.
But Berto won, and this is why Mickey was in trouble, because he didn't have the money to pay the guy, and this guy caught him and tortured him, and he's like, that's how he does it, because if you're dead, you can't pay him money, but he can torture you until you finally get the money. And he's like, it was like the most painful thing he's ever been through, so he's like, I gotta get off Midgard. And that's when he applied with Berto to go in space, but he didn't get the positions he applied for. But the only one that opened now was the expendable. And so that's what he did it.
And so that whole thing is his story with Timo and the macaroons. Mm-hmm. And the loan shark dude. Mm-hmm. Which I think is fucking hilarious because, like, this loan shark looks like a mob boss. Why is he backing a macaroon?
I know, right?
I love Robin, Steven Yeun are wearing, like, not today macaroon shirts or something. Yeah.
That was cute. All right, so then we're at present day, and Mickey 7 and Mickey 8 are trying to figure out what to do about food because they decided not to kill each other. They're like, you know what? We'll make this work. And they settled on splitting their rations, which 8 is not happy about because when you're just created, you are starving. And so he is so hungry, and they already don't have a lot to eat as it is. But Mickey 7 went and ate his portions because 8 was like, I'm going to go take a nap. And in the cafeteria, Berto and Nasha come in and they're chatting and they find out that there's a security guard that is missing. And this security guard let Mickey 7 in the night before. So he's like, I mean, I saw him last night, but he couldn't say anything because he's pretending to be 8 and 8 mm-hmm. did not see him last mm-hmm. night. And Nasha and Berto also make note of his injured arm because, like, you're newly printed. Why do you have an injury already? That's weird. Comes out somehow. Oh, because Nasha's talking about, oh, remember how fun that was? Blah, 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 blah. And like last night or then whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I didn't do anything with her. That means 8 and her were fooling around. And he's like super jealous of himself.
Yeah, that's the funniest part of this. I'm like, it's not like she's cheating on you, right? It's you.
Exactly. And then 7 got pinged to go to command.
So in the movie, the weirdest part of this is the movie, it feels like everything that happens like within a day. Whereas mm-hmm. in the book, it takes months and months and months for everything to happen. And so like 7 and 8, they never have a chance to talk about divvying up food because they're right off the bat angry at each other, trying to kill each other. And then they get split up when Nasha finds, was it Nasha? Somehow they get split up and 8 ends up going with Nasha and 7 gets stuck, like, talking to Marshall, the dude who's, like, the president of the settlement. And
this is the movie?
Yeah.
Where it feels like it's longer?
No.
The book didn't feel long to me.
Oh, it felt long. It felt like, because like they actually like split rations in the book.
Yeah, it felt like a couple weeks. It didn't feel like months and months, though.
Yeah, to me, it felt like months.
Because you're like, just do it already.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I know what's coming, guys.
So we get a flashback and we learn about Captain Marshall, and he does not like Mickey. And when Marshall first met him, Mickey was like nauseous because they just did the space going up into space, and he's like getting sick, and he's like, oh, great. He's a weenie. And then mm-hmm. Mickey's like, hey, we were told we have personal effects. Where are our personal effects? And he's like, yeah, we changed that because we're saving, you know, weight and mm-hmm. all this sort of stuff. And Mickey got a little snippy, but not like horribly, but that rubbed Marshall the wrong way. And also Marshall's very religious and he thinks that reprinting yourself is like damning your soul, and Mickey no longer has a soul,
which is fucking hilarious because you're the one who wants an expendable on your settlement,
right?
So like
I don't think it ever said that in
that's true in the movie it was very obvious he wanted this person to be the person to die just in case in the movie Marshall is worried about the expenditure of energy, and so he bans everyone from having sex. I know.
What the heck?
I know. I don't know why that was added. I thought for sure that was going to be in the book, but it wasn't. And I was like, okay, like, because that's the whole scene where Mickey and Nasha meet, and they end up like having sex all the time, and like come up with all these different positions, and they draw them out and name them all.
Yes. It was for the end scene. That's why.
And that's literally why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're back at present day, and Mickey 7 and Berto are having a meeting with Marshall, and he's yelling at them for wasting assets, aka Mickey 7 just, you know, dying. That was a huge asset he wasted.
And then the truth comes out about what really happened to Mickey. And Mickey had to act like he was this was shocking news. But they both got their food credits cut. And after they leave, Seven yells at Berto, sharing like, hey, I trust you. And how do you do this? Like, I don't understand. I don't know what happens to me from like point A to point B when I die. I trust you to tell me. And Berto felt kind of bad about that. And Seven goes back to his room and he has to wake Eight up and they talk about plans. And the next terminal or suicidal mission they're called out on, Seven agreed he'll go do. He also gave him his last rations for the day. And then he got pinged again to go to command.
This part does not happen. Because Berto isn't there and they're not meeting with Marshall. Like in the book, it seemed like Marshall was this person that they always met with to like talk about their plans and stuff. Whereas in the movie,
seemed like a legit commander.
Yeah. Whereas in the movie, he's definitely just a joke.
Yeah. He's like the guy paying for the trip that thinks
he's the commander. And like they're trying to make media propaganda with him. He is essentially Trump.
Yes.
Yes. And I do know for a fact from a Comic Con that I went to and I watched his panel, he said that he drew inspiration from some real life people and implied who he was.
Yeah, it was like not hard to figure out at all. Mm-hmm. As soon as he went on, he's got like the orange tan. He's
even super straight tea.
Yeah, he talks like him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just want a funny movie. I hated it like to the point where I'm like, I don't want politics in my movie. I just want a funny movie. And kind of ruined the whole movie for me.
Oh, stupid Mark.
I know. Bad choices. All right, so now we're back at a flashback and Mickey is training with when he first signed on, and he's training with his girl Gemma, who apparently was his love long ago.
Yeah, in a different movie.
And she taught him everything there was. His final exam was to put a gun to his head and kill himself. And he went to pull the trigger and she said, okay, you passed. You don't have to really do it.
This happens in the movie, but it's not, he doesn't want to do it. And she takes the gun and puts it to his head to do it. And
yeah.
He like gets it away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. He would have failed then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he passed in the movie still. Mm-hmm.
He's still an expendable.
Yes. That's because they're like, well,
you're far enough. We still need you.
Back to present day, and he was called to go out on the field with a team looking for whatever took their men, knowing it was probably creepers. And while they're out there, he's chatting with Kat, who's his other girl, and people on their teams, and this is when the creepers come. And one of the guys is gone, and two others have creepers all over them, and they just run to get out of there. And Mickey and Kat got away thanks to Berto coming in, distracting and saving the day. This is where her girlfriend dies.
Yeah,
and
so
it's Kai.
Yeah, in the movie, what's funny is I have that, but I had Kai, not Kate, not Kat.
Oh.
So in the movie, it's not Kat, it is Kai. And her girlfriend dies at this point when they're going for the creepers. Again, it's to make the creepers these big, scary things because no one's realizing that they saved Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a way to get Marshall pissed because you don't have the scene where Marshall's pissed about him wasting Mickey Seven. Mm-hmm. So now you get what the fuck, you were out there with her. Why didn't you die instead of her? Uh-huh. Because that's why we have you. That was a waste.
Yeah. In the book.
Oh, also.
Okay.
This is a key one that I forgot to mention when you mentioned it. Mickey is not hiding a broken hand or anything.
You're right.
There is no wound on his hand. And that's kind of important one for the book.
Yeah, I don't mention it much more in the book, but like.
Well, don't you mention it when he gets found out?
I might.
Because that's how he gets found out.
That's one of the reasons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so throughout all, like, obviously when Eight goes out, his hand's not bandaged. When Mickey Seven goes out, his hand is bandaged. So people start, like... Mm-hmm.
And Mickey Seven's like, you gotta bandage your hand. And Mickey's Eight like, I don't want to. My hand's not injured. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
This is stupid.
It's for your safety.
Right? So now we learn how Mickey became Mickey 2,
And there was an explosion because debris hit the ship and he had to go out and fix it. And he was exposed to radiation. And this is also how Mickey 2 became Mickey 3, because he had to go out and finish his work. So he died pretty quickly and became 3. Poor guy.
In the movie, we see all of his iterations at the start of the movie, and it's the funniest montage ever. I love that montage. Sad. Especially as he, like,
music.
They have sad music, and he's coming out of the printer, and, like, sometimes they forget to have the table out, so his body just falls on the floor, or is, like, dangling out, and the nurse girl runs over and is like, help, help. I think it's hilarious.
It is funny, but oh my gosh. All right, so Mickey and Kat got called to Marshall's office again, and this is where he did it in the movie. He let them have it, and they tried to defend what they did. They went to the cafeteria, and there's Rasha. Did I do it again?
Yeah,
there's Nasha, and they chatted with her for a bit, and Mickey 7 tells us, the readers, about nightmares he's been having, which is why he has not wanted to back up, because he doesn't want Psych thinking he's crazy. And he's dreamed about these, like, caterpillar things. And then it, like, sucks him out of his helmet. And it's just this weird space thing.
His nightmare comes in play at the end of the movie. But he does not have that nightmare in the book.
Right.
And Marshall only lets Mickey have it. Because Mickey's the one who should have died when they were out there. Mm-hmm. Because the next part in the movie doesn't happen in the book. The dinner.
Oh, it does not.
So at this point in the book, Mickey's trying to figure out. Actually, Mickey's wanting to keep Mickey 8 away from Nasha.
That's right.
And so he's trying to get them away from each other. But then he finds out that he wanted dinner with Marshall and his wife. And he's like, what? The fuck, especially since Marshall was just yelling at him for not dying. But so he goes to this dinner, and first off, it's like, I realized this third time watching it that it looks like this because it's fake meat, but it looks like the rawest piece of steak would ever eat. I was like, holy crap, what? But then I realized, because they're sitting there talking about, oh, it's all farm raised here, we made it, it grew. Things like that. And I was like, oh duh, that makes so much more sense. But he's there having dinner, then Kai comes in for the dinner because Marshall feels bad that her friend died. And so they're there having dinner together, and Kai's basically getting pissed at Marshall for being a weird ass dude. And Marshall's like, I think you have what it takes to help us create the ultimate race. And she's like, what the fuck? And Rob's just in the back chowing down.
He's so hungry. He's starving because his rations have gotten cut like 3 times. Yeah.
And so then it gets this point where Marshall then is like, we should pray before we eat, which is funny because Rob's been eating.
Right.
He's saying a prayer for her friend.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
It was.
That's right.
Because they asked Kai if she wanted to, and she went to say something, but then, like, stopped. And so then the wife took over, and they start doing this weird singing.
It was so weird.
And then Mickey fucking throws up in the middle of it.
Oh, my gosh. Because he's freaking a test subject dying. They're like, we put something in the meat to try this new thing.
All of the doctors, like, burst into the room like, sorry, sir, we didn't want to ruin your dinner, but also we really wanted to try this out.
Yeah. What the heck? And then Kai's like, what? You guys are freaking psycho. Like,
especially since they then come in with this new pain med that they are trying. Oh. And they give him a shot. They're like, he should feel nothing. And so he's sitting there, and then he starts screaming.
It's like, it's so painful. Oh my gosh.
So that hilarious part happens. And then Kai takes Mickey back to her place. Mm-hmm. And I will let you get to that part.
Okay. So we have details on him and how him and Nasha met. And they were people who are these ghost chasers who are the same religion as Marshall. But so, like, they believe that,
you know, Mickey no longer has a soul, but man, that's kind of kinky. I want to sleep with him. And she's like, I'm not one of those people. They started dating at Mickey 3. And so they've been dating for 4 Mickeys now. And she had a pretty rough childhood. She was an immigrant. And they had thought that they were traveling to the sunny beach planet. But the closer they got, they discovered it was all ice. And that really is a bummer for them.
So in the movie, the Nasha storyline gets told pretty much right off the bat. But I will say, so when I was watching it, I really thought Nasha was going to end up being a bitch to him. So then I was really glad when at the end she was like his ride or die. Like that was his girl. And so then I was like, I wonder if that's like the case in the book, too. And then I read the book and I was like, damn, she is his ride or die. I
loved her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I thought it was really, I really liked how they showed, because she doesn't. I mean, I guess I don't know if she does, but they don't say it in the books. But in the movies, it comes to light that she actually, like, when Mickey has been going through all of his deaths, if he's locked in a chamber solo, she finds a way to be able to go in there to be with him. Mm-hmm. So he's not alone. And I was like,
they say that in the book.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not remember that.
That's okay. So present day, Mickey's called out on parole and 7 and 8 argue about who should go. Kat got called again. Is like, hey, remember we did such a good job yesterday. You want to go? And this 8's like, haha, now you have to go because I have no idea what you talked about. So 7 talks with 8 about Kat about other planets and history and why they succeeded and failed. And then all of a sudden he sees creepers and they attack. But 7 passed out, apparently, or something happened because they brought him back and he woke up in a doctor's office and he's totally fine.
Yeah, this part doesn't happen.
No. Berto asked Mickey to go to dinner with him. He had a bunch of credits that he was going to spend on them. And it turns out that he made a bet that he could get through this crazy small hole with the spacecraft. And he was successful. So he got 3,000 food credits. And Mickey's pissed because he's like, you could have died. But he took advantage of all the food anyways. And they're feasting like kings until one security guard comes over and he's upset that he lost the bet. And so they start fighting. And then again, they wind up in Marshall's office and he's quite upset and he docks them more food credits, but isn't much harsher because it was a security guard who started it.
I figured this was the fancy Marshall dinner just in a different way, yeah, because Berto is not a character in the movie and Timo wouldn't do this with them. No. So
yes, I agreed. So Nasha pinged to hang out with Mickey and 8 answered and it pissed off 7. He's like, it's like, it's not a sexual thing. I'm just starving and I'm going to use her credits to get me food. And he's like, all right, fine. So 7 went and hung out in the cafeteria and then it clicked. He's like, oh my gosh, this is where they're going to come. And so he had to run out of there. And that's when he ran into Kat. And when Kat found out that Nasha is seeing someone else, because he kind of like hinted at that, but didn't flat out say they're not in an open relationship. She's like, well, you can come back to my bunk because my roommate just died and you can sleep in her bed.
Mm-hmm. So after the dinner, Kai brings Mickey back to her place and is like, I have this thing from Earth that helps my tummy when it's upset. Let's give it to you. I saved it all this time. And I was like, why would you save it and give it to this dude? And like, can't you just make it yourself? Like, it's tea.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she essentially asks Mickey the question that he hates being asked, which is, what is it like to die? Mm-hmm. And he realizes, oh, you're asking because your friend just died. Mm-hmm. And so then they kind of like are sitting there on the bed together and she tries to make a move. And he's like, I'm with Nasha.
Yes.
No.
So Kat and 7 talk for a while and then it's morning and he goes back to his bunk and he tries to get some sleep.
Basically, once Kai makes her move on Mickey, he's like, I got to get back to Nasha. And so then he runs to his room and that's when he opens the door and finds Nasha and 8 definitely just having had sex and they're high on the drug that Timo is selling.
So we have a flashback of this guy, Malakova, and we learn why being a multiple is so awful. So he created a bunch of himself and he went and made his own planet and people kept going missing on his planet. And then like people were messaging help, help, like this, all these Malakovas are freaking like swarming the Earth and destroying us. And unfortunately, with space mail, it took about 10 years for the message to even get there. And then it took more time for them to get back. So by this time, he had 18 years worth of multiples. And so when they came out, he shot a bunch of nukes. There was this whole entire army and war, everything. But eventually he was defeated, I think.
Yeah,
he must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when the law of no multiples became a thing.
In the movie, it's not as grand of a scale as this. It's literally just like, I think he had maybe 10 of himself, but it started with 3 of himself that the cops were after because he murdered someone.
And murdering homeless people.
Oh, yeah. He was murdering homeless people.
So sad.
And his DNA was there, but he always had alibis. And they were like, how the hell are you doing this? And then they went to his house once they had enough for a warrant. And they were like, they opened it. And there's him like doing chores and hanging out.
Yes. Multiples.
Mm-hmm.
So back to present day. Kat and Mickey chat and says, hey, come meet me at the gym. And she accused him of being a multiple because she had run into Mickey 8 earlier and his arm was fixed. Good, I do say it. He also said that he was in agricultural that morning when she talked to Mickey 7 earlier and he had an off day. So she's like, things are not lining up. He came clean and said yes, and he didn't really have a good excuse. I'm like, tell the truth. That's a legit good excuse. Mm-hmm. He went back to his room and there was Nasha and 8 getting it on, and she was super chill about it, like weirdly kinky about it. And she realized 8 had told her already. And 7 went in and they're sitting talking, and then comes Kat and she flips out. It's like she didn't register until she officially saw both of them. She runs down the hall and they bolt the door, and eventually the bolt is overridden and here comes security to take them to the hole, which is like where they kill people. They burn Mickey's dead bodies. And Nasha is super nervous because she's being walked to her execution. But Mickey's like, nah, I'm used to this. I mean, it sucks, but I'm used to it.
So in the movie, in the book, the two Mickeys and Nasha definitely had a threesome. Whereas in the movie, 7 stopped it. 7 was like, no. This is too weird. I just, one of my favorite scenes is when it's the two Robs and Nasha in the middle, and like 7 and Nasha are kissing, and 8 starts like playing with 7's hair, and he like stops and like looks at him like, no, I can't do this. Oh, it's the funniest. And then Kat comes in and sees them and starts freaking out, and Nasha runs after her to be like, no, you can't tell, like, what can I do to make this up for you? And Kai. And Kai wants 7 for herself. She's like, give me 7 and you can have 8. And Nasha's like, no, because they're both of mine.
Yes.
What? And while this is happening, Mickey 7 is telling Mickey 8 about the dinner at Marshall's, and Mickey 8 is getting pissed.
Oh,
he's like, he's like, what did they do to you? And what did you do to them? And he's like, I thanked them for the food. You what? It's such a funny movie.
All right, so we have a flashback on how Mickey 3 and 4 died. He was a human medical specimen. So he died by vaccine testing and finding out what worked and didn't work. But Nasha was there every single time. Yeah. And she was like, in, like Bree said, she went in the little box with him and held him and made sure that he was okay. And Mickey 5 died of like worms attacking him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. And he never knew how 6 died. Birdo said it was creepers, but he didn't know if he believed him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we had to do for the book. But there were lots of deaths in the movie.
Yeah, there was like when they first landed on Niflheim or whatever, they made him go outside to breathe it in. And then they found out that there was something in the air that was killing people. So they kept trying to make cures for it and sending him outside to see if the cure was working, but it didn't. He had to go outside to fix some wires, and he thought he was going to fix wires, but really he was like going outside for radiation to see how the radiation would react to the human body. He went out to fix something and his hand got cut off.
That was sad.
Well, like, he was about to die, but they were like, check your watch. You have like 8 minutes left. And he went to check and his hand just whoop.
Because like an asteroid or something hit it. Yeah. And it was like, ah, poor guy.
And then a bunch of different like medicines that they just kept trying on him. And like there was one where he only lasted for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, don't worry. It might be 15 minutes. And he's like, great.
Thanks. And all that happens at the start of the movie.
Mm-hmm. So the three of them were about to get thrown into the hole. They spoke with Marshall and he said he's going to kill them and he doesn't think he's going to bring back Mickey 9. And Mickey 7 is freaking out because while interacting with 8, he realizes they are not the same. So when 7 dies, even though Mickey comes back, he won't. And Marshall talks with 7 about the tunnel system in the ice because that came up. And how creepers are down there. And 7 told him everything from when he was dropped in the ice to present day.
So basically, after Mickey 8 finds out what Marshall did to Mickey 7 at dinner, he grabs a gun and goes. And Marshall has brought this rock from the outside inside and they were cutting it to see the inside. I don't get the rock thing, but
they were gonna like make it a
like everyone's names was gonna get etched into
it.
It
was gonna be like a statue of like not a statue but like a plaque.
Yeah. And so they cut that open and there's a creeper inside and Mickey 8 comes to kill Marshall, but then a creeper's inside and all hell breaks loose. And this is how Marshall finds out that there is a Mickey 17 and 18. Mm-hmm. I just realized I've been calling him 7 and 8 because of the book this whole time. My bad. And then they get taken basically to the hole, but Marshall's preparing for war because now they have a creeper baby held captive and all the creepers have started to swarm the ship. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're obviously about to attack us. Whereas I wanted to be like, guys, they've been swarming your ship for how many hours and they haven't attacked you?
Right.
Do you really think they're trying to attack? Just give them the baby back.
Right.
That's all I want.
And this whole time, freaking psycho wife is like obsessed with sauces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like she's cutting the creeper's tail off and making sauce out of it. That was so gross.
So gross. I felt so sad for it. Mm-hmm. It's a baby creeper.
What's funny is John said he would have liked the movie more if the creepers weren't a part of it because he doesn't like anything like alien or creepy like that. And so once he saw them, he was like, oh, I don't like this movie. But then he watched it and he was like, OK, I liked it for Rob's voice. Nice. And Rob was the best part of the movie, but the creepers ruined it for me. I was like, I think they were cute.
They were cute. All right. So we have the last few days. 7 has been hearing cut-ins, and so the last few days there's been like cut-ins and cutouts on his oculars and he's been hearing like and he's like, what the heck is that? Well, he heard it again and he assumes it's Mickey 8 sleep messaging him, but Mickey, he confronted him about it and Mickey's like 8's awake right now, so they have no idea what this is. They were brought to the incinerator and Marshall's talking to them and he wants some things answered. So he calls 8 out on all the BS that he was doing. And he's like, you're not coming back to life. I'm so sick of this. And he's like, you have to because, oh no, 8 calls him out on the BS because he's like, you're going to bring us back because you need an expendable. And he's like, nope, Kat's going to be my new expendable. She already agreed to it. And he's like, what? Kat?
Yeah, that doesn't happen in this movie. No. I mean, Marshall is going to take them both out and doesn't plan on bringing them back. But he's not making a new expendable. Oh, this is also the point in the movie when Nasha realizes that the creeper saved Mickey. Oh, and then after Marshall essentially is trying to figure out what to do with Mickey 7 and 8 and Nasha, they get locked up in cages and Timo comes and is like, the loan shark found me. And he wants a video of someone dying, and guess what? It's going to be one of you, Mickey's.
Yeah.
But then Mickey 8 comes up with a good plan to get out of that, and Nasha helps him, and then they get out of the cages, but then they have to go to Marshall.
Yes. So we learn some detail on antimatter, and when it comes to creating planets and destroying them, basically it's a nuke.
Okay.
All right. So 8 and 7 are instructed to go out and explore all the holes where 7 originally fell to find all the creepers. And they're strapped with, like, basically suicide bombers. Mm-hmm. And when they found them, they're supposed to blow us up with all the antimatter. And they're exploring down there. And at one point, they split up. And 7 has no idea where 8 is. He's not answering on his oculars anymore. So while he's trying to decide what to do, he sees a creeper. And then he hears it on his oculars. He let him know that they destroyed something. He assumes it's 8. And asks if he was a prime. He's like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to say yes. And they agreed to talk to him.
So in the movie, like Allie said, the wife is obsessed with sauces. So the whole thing for 7 and 8 to go out and about is to get as many tails from the creepers as they can so that the wife can make her sauce. And if they don't, if they try to escape, then Marshall has buttons that will blow up the Mickeys, and they can choose which Mickey. And basically whoever brings the most tails is the one who's going to get to stay alive.
So weird.
But then 7 realizes that they are friendly because of Nasha and because of the scientist people. Like, you find out before they get sent out that the scientists have been working on this way to talk and communicate with the creepers, because they realize that the creepers have been trying to chit chat and communicate. And so Mickey then realizes and goes to, like, the main head honcho creeper and is like, hey, they're going to kill you. What are you doing? We need to fix this. What are we doing? And then she's like, you need to bring me my baby back. And one of your people need to die because you guys killed one of my kids. Because one of her kids did get killed earlier.
Yep. So then we get this random story about this colony on, like, that was called Longshot. That it was very, they were like not nice creatures on this, but eventually time went by and they worked out and they got used to each other. It's all shadowing what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part does not happen in the movie.
Nope. So 7 went back to the dome and convinced Marshall to come out and talk to him in person. He let him know that the creepers have the other antimatter bomb and that 7 talked to them and that they created a truce. He's their only liaison, though, so Marshall can't kill him. Otherwise, the creepers are going to attack, and they have the antimatter bomb. And Marshall is furious, but can't do anything about it. 7 goes into his bunk, and he cries over 8 dying, and Nasha comes and comforts him.
So 18 in the movie then goes and kills Marshall. He runs over to fight Marshall and then presses his number for his bomb to explode, and Marshall and 18 die. And 17 never really cries about it.
Mm-mm. It's like deuces.
Yeah. It's like, thank God you're gone. You were a dick.
Yes. So the next morning he goes to Marshall's office and Marshall's like, I'm so sorry. You were in the right. I'm just so sorry. And then he says, okay, we need you to put this antimatter back in the container. But we're not going to ask you to back up. So just do it. And this is when Mickey realizes this is a whole, like, they're trying to kill him. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And I quit. I'm not expendable anymore. He's like, you can't do that. And I was like, he's like, yes, I can, because you can't kill me because I'm your only liaison with the creepers. And Birdo comes in after he's done talking to him. And he's like, how are you doing, Mickey? And Mickey punches him, says, yeah, we're good now. He's still pissed at him, but they're better.
Yeah, this part doesn't happen because now essentially they are destroying the expendable program, him and Nasha. Oh, wait, there was also before Marshall died, Marshall and his wife were going to get arrested for abusing pretty much everyone that they were in control of. And then the wife, like, freaks out and Nasha almost kills her. But then she gets the baby to bring the baby out to the creeper because Mickey told her to bring the baby. Because that was one of their sex positions. So he's like, see, 3. And she's like, oh, I know. But then Nasha basically becomes the new marshal and is like, I don't like what they're doing to Mickey, and Mickey doesn't like it. And so we're going to get rid of this expendable program. And that's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yep. End of the book is months and months went on, and apparently their planet has spring because the snow's gone. So it's like just takes years to get to spring. And while reviving all this colonization and plants, and they are just growing, Mickey takes Nasha out and go on a walk. He ends up taking her to this little hole he had buried Mickey 8's antimatter bomb in. She's like, oh my gosh, how did you get it back? He's like, I asked for it back. He's like, I'm not going to let them have a bomb. And he didn't bring it back to command, though, because he knows that that's when Marshall will kill him. So he's just a free man with a hidden secret.
And that's not how it ended in the movie, but I already told you how the movie ended.
Yes.
All right.
That's it.
We did it.
Yep.
Not too bad. An hour just to do the comparison.
Yeah, we got this.
I did good.
You did.
I kept it in check.
Yeah.
At times.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It could have been way worse.
It could have been. It could have been a 3-hour Twilight.
It could have been.
But we're good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Robert Pattinson played Mickey Barnes.
The best.
He was really good.
He was born to play this role, man.
Yeah. After reading it first, I was like, I'm interested to see how he does this. Mm-hmm. And then he did really good.
It was amazing. The fact that after the movie, John literally said to me, the best part of that movie was Rob.
Yeah.
I was like, you did it, Rob. Good job.
And then we have Steven Yeun played Timo.
Timo. I mean, he wasn't a character in the book, so I can't go off of that. But for what he was given, he did good.
Yes. Naomi Ackie played Nasha.
She was perfect. I loved her as Nasha.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her.
Me too.
Mark Ruffalo played Marshall.
Well, we know your feelings about
it. I hated it.
I thought it was hilarious. I liked it a lot.
I mean, I don't even know if I watched the movie first if I would have liked it.
Yeah.
Because
politics suck.
Politics suck. And I just wanted to. I understand. I mean, he's given a script and it's very much
in line with what's happening.
Yes. So I understand why he pulled that element in there. Well,
he's also like, he's super liberal.
Yeah, I know.
He like goes to protests and stuff. Yeah. So
I understand that that's why he went that direction. Mm-hmm. After reading that script, that's kind of what it even seemed like it was written like.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted a fun, like I picked, I recast.
Oh.
Yeah. We got to figure out what his name is. Do you think I would know because he's been in a bunch of movies that we've done already? I picked Bruce Greenwood.
Okay.
But oh. Yeah, but I want him to look like he did in The Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was as Book Marshall.
Yeah.
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 That's who I picked.
I mean, that makes way more sense because Book Marshall is very different from
Marshall. And then Toni Collette played Ylva, who was the wife who was not in the book at all.
Mm-hmm. I liked her. I thought she did really good.
I mean, for the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Weird.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Anna Maria Vartolomini. There's no N in there. What am I doing?
I don't know.
I was like, stop saying the N, Allison. Okay. She played Kai.
She did good. I liked her.
I liked her, too. Mm-hmm. She was good.
Mm-hmm.
I just put this in here because I saw it funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Anna Mugalis?
Mugalis?
Who's the mama creeper?
That's funny. I didn't even realize that they had someone actually doing. Oh.
She talked in the.
Yeah, she did.
The Oculus.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Now that makes sense. Yeah. Yep. Oh, she did good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Very good mama.
Good job.
That's all I got. Do we need anyone else?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mickey part is
similar. Actually, that's true.
But I don't know if the rest is.
No, it's not. No.
Because the book's main thing is like, I don't know.
It kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Yeah.
Because the book,
the main plot story is to get the creeper, like,
that's not even the main. The main one is don't let them know there's two of us.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait, the creepers are good.
Yeah.
That's the book.
Whereas the movie is
drugs and.
Yeah. Loan sharks and.
Yeah.
Keep them away from us and.
There's a whole lot of story, actually.
Mickey just dying all the time.
Yes. Do the characters stay true? I would say for the most part, except for Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall and his wife.
And then 8 and Timo. 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe not.
So Mickey's 17 and Nasha.
Yes. There you go.
Related good.
And what do you prefer?
I don't think this will shock you.
Nope.
I prefer the movie.
Shock. I prefer the book.
Yeah?
Yeah. It would have been, I think, movie if...
Uh-huh. If you
Marshall was Marshall.
Oh,
no, yep. I don't even think if I watched it first. If Marshall was book Marshall, I think I would have preferred the movie.
That makes sense.
But it just kind of ruined the whole. It didn't ruin the whole thing for me. Like, I really liked every other part that he wasn't in.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But it was. No, I still would watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I will say this is one of the ones where it's kind of hard because I did enjoy the book, too. The book was a really good iteration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a hard, this is what I'm choosing because of this.
But it was Rob. But,
so. Exactly. It's Rob. It's a fucking hilarious movie. It's hilarious. I love the movie.
Yeah. And would you recommend it to a friend?
Absolutely. I already have.
Yes.
Sierra, the second person I watched it with was Sierra because I said, Sierra, you have to watch this. And I'm pretty sure I told Allie, I was like, if we weren't covering it, I would have told you that you had to watch this.
Yes. Yep. Okay, cool. We did it.
We did.
All right. And we got a website.
offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Yeah. We got some fun stuff on there.
Yeah, you can rate us. You can subscribe to us.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us some reviews. That would be helpful.
Uh-huh. We just have a donation
mm-hmm.
thing now.
Yeah, that would be super helpful. You can either donate once or,
recurring.
Thank you. I was going to say, or you could subscribe to the donation. I was like, that's not what I'm trying to say. Not at all.
We have merchandise you can buy.
Mm-hmm. You can sign up to help us drop off some bookmarks to little free libraries. And then, as I said last week, I have started video editing for panel by panel. So you should go ahead and check that out, especially if you're super into DC Comics, Superman. Right now he's talking about the Superman curse, which I don't know if anyone knew about this curse.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm.
Pretty much there's a lot of bad things that have happened to the leads of Superman, like Christopher Reeve's paralyzing accident. Mm. I can't remember what the other ones are, but it's a Superman curse.
Wait, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, we might have a minisode for you.
Up in the air. We have plans, but can we get them recorded? I don't know.
Just tune in and see.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday, we got American Psycho.
Hell yes.
Did you just put that on there? Because I didn't know the difference between Psycho and American Psycho. Or was that always planned?
What?
There was an episode that we talked about where we brought this up and I was like, and you're like, no, that's Psycho. I'm talking about American Psycho. And I'm like, what's the difference? You remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. No, this is just one of my favorites. And when I went to Charlie's wedding,
uh-huh.
one of his groomsmen, it was insane because here's me and John sitting at a table with two of his groomsmen and like one of his best friends.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why am I at this table? And I'm like, obviously I'm considered a best friend, but what the fuck? Why am I at this table?
Yeah.
Especially like I had one of the best views of them. And like me and John were like looking at each other like. They literally like walk past us. Their table's right there. We're going to be in the pictures of them in the background. Like, what the fuck? But anyway, so we were chit chatting with one of his groomsmen and off script got brought up. I think John promotes us well. John does really good. So we're talking about it. Off script gets brought up and he says, one of my favorite adaptations is American Psycho. And I was like, really? Because I love the movie. Uh-huh. I love the movie. And I was like, I've been wanting to read the book, but I'm kind of like, I'm a little bit iffy with it. Like, I don't know, especially because American Psycho to me is a horror. Mm-hmm. So it should be in October, but we do Stephen King. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to schedule the other horror movies. But he then, I can't remember what exactly he said to me, but he was like, if you like the movie, you need to read the book, because the book will just kind of like justify some things or shed more light on how psycho he is.
Okay.
Because like, we don't really get to be in Patrick Bateman's mind in the movie.
No.
Whereas in the book, it's just straight up.
Yeah.
Nonstop his thoughts. So I can't remember. I wish I could remember exactly what he said, because that's what convinced me. I was like, I need to schedule it soon.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. So okay. No, it was not our conversation. Oh. But also, yes, I'm glad you now know the difference.
Yes, I know the difference now. Actually, I've never seen Psycho either. I just know the key scene. The shower
Are
scene.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
At some point in October, we have to watch that. And there was another one. What was the other one? There was one that you hadn't seen that I was like, what the fuck?
I know.
God damn it.
I know.
All right. Okay, well, with that, Mickey 17 went off script. Bye.
Hey, we could do it, both of us.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.